Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you've joined me, as we're going to be shortly continuing our study of the Old Testament in 2017. Today we come to the book of Lamentations, and we'll be looking at chapters 1 through 3 here in a few minutes concerning the miseries of Jerusalem and the sufferings of the faithful. Before we do that, though, we do want to look at some things on our bulletin board this morning. And one of those is the Fall Gospel Meeting at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. The theme is Jesus or Me, What Will It Be? The speaker is going to be Brother Kevin Cawley, preacher for the church in New Boston, Texas. Brother Kevin was born in Abilene, Texas in 1968. He was raised in the Austin, Texas area and is a graduate of the Southwest School of Bible Studies in 1989. He also graduated from the University of Texas in 1994 and St. Edward's University in 2010. In 1991, Kevin married Mary Lynn Forehan, and he has preached at congregations in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi. He has also worked as an instructor at the Southwest School of Bible Studies, and he is currently the pulpit preacher for the New Boston congregation in New Boston, Texas. Kevin and Mary Lynn have four sons, Austin, Charles, Edward, and Gavin. This series of gospel meetings will begin on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with the topic of the only thing to fear. At 10 a.m., it's all about me. And then on Sunday at 6 p.m., the secret that isn't a secret. Monday evening at 7 p.m., the green-eyed monster. Tuesday at 10 a.m., if I were a rich man. And Tuesday at 7 p.m., Mount St. Helens all over again. And then we'll conclude Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Empire of Desire. For additional information, you can contact the North Jefferson Congregation at 903-572-1136. Again, that'll be October 15th through the 18th at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Also, coming up October 1st through the 4th will be a gospel meeting at the Carriage Oaks Congregation in Bossier City, Louisiana, and the speaker is going to be Brother B.J. Clark, and this will begin at 7 p.m. nightly. Also, beginning today is the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat in Brady, Texas, and that'll be going on for the next 3 days. It's too late to sign up now, but that's something that you'll want to look forward to next year, ladies, if you have the opportunity. Also, beginning on October the 8th, the West Hill Congregation in Corsicana, Texas, will host their annual lectureship. There'll be various speakers for this, and it should be a great event. Also, young people in the Northeast Texas area, remember that coming up October 9th will be the Bible Bowl series of Northeast Texas, and that's going to be hosted at the that'll be hosted by the Maud congregation, and the testing will be held at the North Jefferson building there in Mount Pleasant. Also, if you happen to be in the Mount Vernon area on October the 14th, we invite you to come and to see our booth set up at the annual Country Fest. Come by and visit us. We'll be handing out tracks and DVDs and meeting people there, and we'd love to meet you and visit with you if you're in the Mount Vernon area. All right, so at this time, let's turn our attention now to our study of God's Word for today as we begin our study of the Book of Lamentations. The literary term for the type of material found in the Book of Lamentations is elegy. An elegy is a song or a poem that expresses sorrow or lamentation, and it is usually for one who is dead. And we will certainly find that to be true in the case of the book of Lamentations. Now, Jeremiah is the inspired penman of the book, and the Holy Spirit is the author. It was not until after what some refer to as higher biblical criticism, until that became popular in the mid-1800s, that some men began to doubt the authenticity and the authorship of this book, and in fact, virtually every book in the Bible. But they are quite wrong in their assertion. The book of Lamentations was written during the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, approximately. It is assumed that chapter 5, though, was written after Jeremiah was taken to Egypt. Interestingly, the first four chapters of Lamentations are acrostic. Chapters 1, 2, and 4 each have 22 verses. Each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the original text. Chapter 3 has 66 verses, and in that chapter there are three verses affixed to each letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the original text. But although chapter 5 has 22 verses, it is not acrostic. So just some interesting background information there. And so now let's get into the book. And in chapter 1, we find that Jeremiah laments the sad state of Judah and Jerusalem. And this sad state, of course, was brought about by their sin. The book begins with the prophet Jeremiah lamenting over the sad state of Judah and Jerusalem. Let's begin with verse 1. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow she is, who was great among the nations. The princess among the provinces has become a slave. Think of the sadness it must have brought about in Jeremiah as he contemplated the fall of his beloved nation. He carries that thought into verse 2. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Indeed, when you make friendships and alliances with the ungodly, you should not expect them to be there for you when the chips are down. Israel had committed spiritual adultery for many years. And those spiritual lovers that she took were no longer there for her in her time of tribulation. Verse 3, Judah has gone into captivity under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. Remember, my friends, whether it be nations or men, the way of the transgressor is hard. Verse 4. The roads to Zion mourn, because no one comes to set the feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. Judah had no one to blame for the 70 years of captivity that it faced. It was because of the multitude of her transgressions. Verse 6. And from the daughter of Zion, all her splendor has departed. Her princes have become like deer that find no pasture, that flee without strength before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and roaming, Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. With no one to help her, the adversary saw her and mocked at her downfall. We might say, much like the southern states in the U.S. Civil War, when the South was collapsing around its people during the war, the people had little to comfort them other than memories of their days of old. Verse 8. Jerusalem has sinned gravely. Therefore she has become vile. All who honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yes, she sighs and turns away. We must understand that sin is vile before God, and the nakedness of the sinner will be exposed. Isaiah, in chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, reminds us that it is sin that separates us from God. We continue with this sad picture of the state of Judah in verse 9. Her uncleanness is in her skirts. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy is exalted. The adversary has spread his hand over all her pleasant things, for she has seen the nations enter her sanctuary, those whom you commanded not to enter your assembly. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their valuables for food to restore life. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am scorned. There is no depth to which man will not sink when he is hungry. They sought bread and would give up their valuables for food. Of a truth, an apple is worth more than $1 million to a starving man. Verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Behold and see, if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger. From above he has sent fire into my bones, and it overpowered them. He has spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He has made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions was bound. They were woven together by his hands and thrust upon my neck. He made my strength fail. The Lord delivered me into the hands of those whom I am not able to withstand. The Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in my midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. For these things I weep. My eye overflows with water, because the Comforter, who should restore my life, is far from me. My children are desolate, because the enemy prevailed. Jeremiah wept for his beloved Judah. And indeed, we see that the Spirit of God was far, far away from this sinful nation. The enemy, in the form of Babylon, had prevailed against Judah. Verse 17. Zion spreads out her hands, but no one comforts her. The Lord has commanded concerning Jacob, that those around him become his adversaries. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. Truly woe to those whom God refers to as unclean in the spiritual realm. Now the remainder of chapter 1 we see is a confession of sins. Verse 18. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his commandment. Hear now, all peoples, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men have gone into captivity. I called for my lovers, but they deceived me. For my priest and my elders breathed their last in the city, while they sought food to restore their life. Again we see that those evil companions will not stick around in your day of trouble. Verse 20. See, O Lord, that I am in distress. My soul is troubled. My heart is overturned within me. For I have been very rebellious. Outside the sword bereaves. At home it is like death. They have heard that I sigh, but no one comforts me. All my enemies have heard of my trouble. They are glad that you have done it. Bring on that day you have announced, that they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you, and do to them as you have done to me, for all my transgressions. For my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. Truly, the first step to taking care of a sin problem is the realization that there is a sin problem. And this would apply to both men and nations. And that brings us to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, we see Jeremiah lamenting the misery of Jerusalem. Chapter 2 begins with God's punishment because of Jerusalem's refusal to repent. Notice God's anger with Jerusalem. Verse 1. How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud of his anger. He cast down from heaven to the earth the beauty of Israel, and did not remember his footstool in the day of his anger. How sad that things had reached this point, for God had, since the days of Moses, desired to be their God. He desired to be their heavenly parent. And he desired for them to be his obedient children. But they had been a stubborn and rebellious child for the greatest portion of their history. Verse 2. The Lord has swallowed up and has not pitied all the dwelling places of Jacob. He has thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has profaned the kingdom and its princes. He has cut off in fierce anger every horn of Israel. He has drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. God had desired to protect his people and to fight for them, but they did not want him to be their king. They had desired a man to be their king. What a mistake. Now let's pick up with the latter part of verse 3. He has blazed against Jacob like a flaming fire, devouring all around. Standing like an enemy, he has bent his bow. With his right hand like an adversary, he has slain all who were pleasing to his eye. On the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces. He has destroyed her strongholds and has increased mourning and lamentation in the daughter of Judah. He has done violence to his tabernacle as if it were a garden. He has destroyed his place of assembly. The Lord has caused the appointed feast and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion. In his burning indignation, he has spurned the king and the priest. The Lord has spurned his altar. He has abandoned his sanctuary. He has given up the walls of her palaces into the hand of the enemy. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord and on the day of a set feast. The Lord has purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore, he has caused the rampart and wall to lament. They languish together. Yes, friends, it is truly a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Verse 9. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations. The law is no more. And her prophets find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit on the ground and keep silence. They throw dust on their heads and gird themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem bow their heads to the ground. My eyes fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My bile is poured on the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is grain and wine?" And they swoon like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out in their mother's bosom. Now, verses 13 through 17 here we see that the people preferred to, instead of heeding the instructions of the Lord, they found it more preferable to heed and listen to false prophets. And we find that they would not repent of this in spite of the consistent warnings of the prophets. Now, they find the other nations mocking them, and now the Babylonians will carry them away in their humiliation to captivity. Verse 13. How shall I console you? To what shall I liken you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I compare with you, that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is spread wide as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? All your enemies have opened their mouth against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, "We have swallowed her up. Surely this is the day we have waited for. We have found it. We have seen it. The Lord has done what he purposed. He has fulfilled his word, which he commanded in days of old. He has thrown down and has not pitied. And he has caused an enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the horn of your adversaries." I ask you to recall the words of Moses. God was here simply doing what he had said he would do so many years before. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. Here we read, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." God had said this even in the days of Deuteronomy. God is a God of his word, and he certainly would fulfill his word. You might also recall those final words of Joshua in Joshua chapter 23, verses 14 through 16. Here Joshua speaking says, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Sadly, the call for repentance and to follow obediently by Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, and many others, that call would go unheeded. Their heart cried out to the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no relief. Give your eyes no rest. Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the watches. Pour your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Again, though, there really is no cause to feel sorry for Judah. They made their choices, and they were going to reap what they had sown. Jeremiah was right back in Jeremiah chapter 10 when he said, certainly, it is not within the way of man to direct his own steps. And Judah was fixing to learn the hard way. Jeremiah is concerned also about the innocent. And he cries out to God in these final verses of chapter 2, asking God to remember the innocent and the faithful remnant like himself. Verse 20, see, O Lord, and consider, to whom have you done this? Should the women eat their offspring, the children they have cuddled? Should the priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered and not pitied. You have invited as to a feast day the terrors that surround me. In the day of the Lord's anger, there was no refugee or survivor. Those whom I have born and brought up, my enemies have destroyed. It is not hard to see why this book is called Lamentations. And that brings us to the end of chapter 2. In chapter 3, Jeremiah laments the spiritual sufferings of the faithful during this great distress that God has brought upon the wicked. But we also see his expectation of their eventual deliverance. Now the first 21 verses here in chapter 3 show Jeremiah lamenting the disaster that has fallen upon the faithful remnant. Begin in verse 1, and we see the prophet's anguish and his hope. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me, time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin, and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy, even when I cry and shout. He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait, like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have no hope. Again, let us look at verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. This verse is very critical for us to understand Jeremiah and to gain something from this book. In spite of all that was happening, in spite of Judah being taken to captivity, Jeremiah still believed that God was faithful. And Jeremiah had hope even through the despairing time in which he lived. Again he said, therefore I have hope. Jeremiah, because of his great faith, had hope and the expectation that God would show mercy to his faithful. Notice verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. We often sing the next few verses in song, and oh, how powerful that is. Perhaps you're familiar with the hymn we sing, taken from these verses. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Yes, indeed. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Great truth is found in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. We must understand that God does not bring suffering upon man for his own personal kicks or enjoyment. It is only with a heavy heart that God chastises those whom he loves. Verse 34. To crush under one's feet all the prisoners of the earth. To turn aside the justice due a man before the face of the Most High, or subvert a man in his cause, the Lord does not approve. And now in the following verses, we see Jeremiah acknowledging the justice of God and that everything that had befallen Judah was proper judgment by the Lord. We continue in verse 37. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? Why should a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Now, I want you to notice the acknowledgement here that is contained in the next few verses. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. Jeremiah called out there in verse 40 for men to go back and examine themselves. It's a call that we would see the prophet Haggai make when he told them to consider their ways, to humble themselves before God, as we notice in verse 41, to lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven, to repentantly turn to God and to seek Him. But before God will hear, there must be the fruit of repentance. There must be the acknowledgement. Here, in verse 42, Jeremiah acknowledges that when he said, "We have transgressed and rebelled." But God would not pardon them this time. His long suffering had ran out. Verse 43, we continue. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us. You have slain and not pitied. you have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. You have made us an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare have come upon us. Desolation and destruction. My eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption. Indeed, the tears would fall from Jeremiah. Tears over the sinfulness of his beloved nation, though he had done everything he could do to attempt to wake them up, to realize the need to turn back. Verse 48, my eyes overflow with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes flow and do not cease without interruption. Till the Lord from heaven looks down and sees, my eyes bring suffering to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. Jeremiah believed that God would, at the right time, deliver the people, bring them back, that he would hear their cry. Verse 52, my enemies without cause hunted me down like a bird. They silenced my life in the pit and threw stones at me. The waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. Now in the final section here in chapter 3, we will see Jeremiah's prayer for deliverance. And this was the prayer of a righteous man, and James told us that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. He believed, even in this trying time, that God still loved his people, and that at the proper time he would hear their cry. Verse 55. I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sighing, from my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called on you and said, do not fear. O Lord, you have pleaded the case for my soul. You have redeemed my life. O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. Do you see the confidence of Jeremiah here? He knew that he had lived correctly, that he had lived and kept the commandments. Verse 59, O Lord, you have seen how I am wronged. Judge my case. You have seen all their vengeance, all their schemes against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, all their schemes against me. The lips of my enemies and their whispering against me all the day. Look at their sitting down and their rising up. I am their taunting song. Repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them a veiled heart. Your curse be upon them. In your anger, pursue and destroy them from under the heavens of the Lord. And so you have Jeremiah's plea, his prayer for deliverance. And then tomorrow, as we look at chapters 4 and chapter 5, here we will see Jeremiah lamenting over Jerusalem still, and a final prayer for the restoration of Israel. Great lessons from the Lamentations. Again, we invite you to join us tomorrow for chapters 4 and 5 as we conclude our look at the book of Lamentations. I hope that you have found encouragement and exhortation in this time together. I know that you have been a tremendous encouragement to me by your presence. And if the Lord wills, I look forward to being back with you again next Thursday at this same time at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time here on Mornings for the Master. I also invite you to join me Friday at 11 a.m. for our Studies in the Gospels program, where we take a look through the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, we remind you to stay tuned through the day for the programming here on the network. Encourage you to go to the programming schedule, which is there on the main page, that you can hit the schedule button and find a program that you've not listened to before and take advantage of it, of a new program to hear more from these faithful brethren that bring you these lessons here on the Gospel Radio Network. So until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.